Hello and welcome to episode 15 of Passive Aggressive Film Reviews. My name is Richard Chittlebob.
And I'm Nathaniel Barrett-Moore.
How's it been, Nathaniel? You sound a bit bleak.
Yeah, it's interesting that you pick up on that, Richard, because that's exactly how I'm feeling, really.
Own the voice, straight away.
Yes, there is it. Yeah, somewhat disillusioned, really. Nothing happening in my life that's the root cause of it.
Mm-hmm.
And us, you're still lapping at me like a pig lapping at a trough, which causes me immense amounts of pleasure.
You lucky, lucky man.
Oh, indeed. There's not an hour goes by I don't feel grateful. But I have to boil it down to this podcast, Richard. The figures are starting to vastly underwhelm me.
The figures,
yeah.
What are you talking about?
Or the lack of them. We're 15 episodes in.
Uh-huh.
And no fuckers listening. It's a little bit disheartening.
Nathaniel, we've got 18 listeners. That means that by the time we get to episode 100, we'll have 103 listeners.
Well, it's interesting that you should convey such optimism, Richard.
Mm-hmm.
Many thanks to the hallowed 18.
Yes.
But on top of that, are they actually listening to the full episodes? Do they actually give a flying fuck? And are they giving us any feedback at all?
I can't entirely disagree with you, Nathaniel. I think a couple of shows ago, I was bemoaning the lack of email responses.
I remember it well.
I've made my peace with it, though, I think.
Really?
Yeah, maybe you're having kind of a later reaction to me. I tend to be a bit more impulsive than you. My reaction was more instant than yours. And then, you know, as with everything, Nathaniel, gradually, eventually you catch up with me.
Well, it's definitely a slow creeper, Richard, I'll give you that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't expect masses of success and masses of listeners in the first three or four episodes, and that's fully to be expected. But you would think 15 down the line, we're getting some sort of craft at what we do. Somebody will be paying attention and at least telling us what they think.
You see, what the listeners don't know is very often we meet up for a meal and discuss our plans for the podcast.
Yes.
Now, I'm quite conservative in what I want to get out of this. I just enjoy the opportunity to talk about movies in the hope that other people will be entertained, informed, perhaps even inspired to go and check out a film they've never seen before. But Nathaniel, on the other hand, he's very ambitious. Very ambitious. He's got... He craves fame.
I'll go stop you there because before you escalate into the absurd. That's not quite the case. I believe that we are giving a service here to entertain, to inform, some sort of inspiration. But if there's nobody there to hear it, Richard, or if nobody cares.
But 18 people are there, Nathaniel.
Sorry?
18 people are there.
Yeah, but as I say, that 18 could be a conspicuous figure because, the recording figure say 18, but are they listening to the full episodes and do they actually give a shit? By evidence of the lack of feedback, it seems not.
Why are they downloading it if they don't listen to it?
Because people get into a habit of collecting, don't they? This is what we do. The first couple of episodes, I subscribed. Oh, I'll just carry on. I'm never going to listen to it, but I'll do it anyway.
Really?
Yes, of course.
You think people are hoarding our episodes?
Hoarding our episodes as they hoard clutter in their homes. This is another piece of worthless shit for them to hang on to.
I remember an episode of something, a programme called Life of Grime.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever seen this.
No, I haven't.
And it was about two men, they were twins, I believe, lived in Sheffield.
Hmm.
And they were compulsive hoarders.
Right.
And they wouldn't throw away anything at all, including their own bodily waste.
Right.
Their toilet was caked, it was to the top, with compacted fecal matter.
Oh, lovely.
That was rock hard.
Yes.
And the stain of fluids that had spilt from the lavatory went down the stairs.
Right.
Is that visual image roughly how you feel about this podcast?
Well, it's not how I feel. I'm trying to get some kind of angle on how other people are feeling. Which is difficult to do, because obviously, as I keep repeating, no one's telling us if they like it or if they think it's shit.
So it's the feedback you want?
It's the feedback. I don't even want it anymore, Rich. I demand it.
Oh, you demand it?
I demand it.
Who do you think you are?
I'm Nathaniel Barrett Moore, and I'm doing something creative, and I want some kind of recognition. If we're not providing a service you don't enjoy, tell us to fuck off and we'll stop.
So you'd rather receive an email telling us that we were shit?
Yes.
Than no email at all?
Completely and utterly.
Really?
Yes. 100%.
What if the inbox is suddenly flooded with emails, complaining about your hideously nasal Black Country accent?
Well, that's just encouragement in disguise, isn't it?
Is it?
Oh, absolutely.
What do you mean by that?
Well, then you can just take solace from the inner knowledge that you're actually having an effect on people. You're pissing them off.
Mm.
You know, as you know me well enough now, Richard, to know that I'd never outright offend anybody deliberately. If they're choosing to take exception to my nasally tone, that's their problem, and nothing I'm about to address.
But you offend me most weeks.
Well, likewise, you know, you mortify me. you leave me absolutely dumbfounded. You leave me speechless. You leave me so I can barely speak.
Yes.
So that's not really a frame of reference.
Are you going to quit, Nathaniel? Is that what you're saying to me?
I'm thinking about it, Richard. I'm thinking about it. I can't deny that thought has crossed my mind, and I've given it consideration. And Nushka has encouraged me to carry on, to persist.
So she told you to quit?
No, to carry on, to persist with
podcast.
If only to give you company and give your life some meaning.
Well, Nathaniel, don't quit, please. The thought of me sitting in this bloody room by myself, talking into a computer by myself, is one of deep bleakness.
Well, as I say, I can't make any promises, and I won't make any hasty decisions, Richard.
Right.
I repeat my demand for feedback. If not, I'll give you a week, the hallowed 18.
Let's at least get to the end of the year.
Okay, the end of the year. All right, that's fair comment. The end of the year.
Because then we can do, you know, a reflective episode on the year that's been. 2011, you know, the passive-aggressive film reviews, retrospective on 2011. And if at that point, Nathaniel, you choose to walk away, well, at least it'll be a nice, you know...
It'll be a closer.
Convenient, exactly.
Yeah.
Can you promise me that?
I can promise you that much, Richard, absolutely. I want to put on the record, for both our sakes, and anybody who gives a shit, that should passive-aggressive film review cease at the end of the year, then I hope that myself, Nathaniel Barrett-Moore, and yourself, Richard Schiffelbob, can continue to do something creative and worthwhile, because I enjoy spending company with you, despite your vile attitudes.
Well, I'll thank you for that, Nathaniel.
You're welcome.
That seemed heartfelt. And what you consider to be vile attitudes, it's just merely me speaking my mind. I don't mean to upset you.
No, I don't suppose you do. I don't suppose you do. I suppose you mean well.
I can't help it. It's just the thoughts that come.
Yes.
It's certainly not personal. Even when you're being an almighty prick,
yes,
I don't mean to upset you.
Right.
Is that okay?
I'll take that. I'll take that as said.
Anything else then, Nathaniel?
Nothing else. I've got nothing else to offer for you this week, Richard.
Really?
No, that's it.
That's a bit disappointing.
Well, you tell us about your week. I'm sure you've got enough to fill the gap.
Well, I think... I don't want to jump the gun here, but I think that I might be getting over my depression.
Oh, that is good news. That's genuinely good to hear.
Anything
that's brought about this change of attitude?
Well, I started teaching.
Yes.
On a one-to-one basis.
Oh, yes.
Media studies, obviously because of my success in the media.
Naturally.
I am occasionally contacted.
Yes.
And I'm teaching a 21-year-old Thai student.
Oh, right.
Who's been very supportive.
Okay.
I'll say no more.
Yes. Okay.
I could, seriously, for legal reasons, I can say no more.
You've got this aspect about you, Richard. You like to tease, don't you? You like to leave us
so hanging. So does she, let me tell you.
You're not going to elaborate if I ask you, though, are you?
Oh, no. Good Lord, no. All I'm going to say, look up the terminology, Benoit balls.
Benoit balls?
Benoit balls. B-E-N.
Yes.
Dash W-A. Benoit.
Benoit, okay.
Balls.
Listeners, there's another chance of feedback, maybe. I'll be looking that up. Please do the same.
I'll describe them to you.
Go on, yeah.
I'm not going to say why I'm mentioning these. It is totally unrelated, of course, to the beautiful Thai student.
Yeah.
Benoit balls. This is little balls like marble sized.
Yes.
Strung on a piece of string. If you choose, you can insert into an orifice, and then they are pulled out one by one for stimulation purposes.
Oh, but I believe I never realised that was the correct definition of them. I believe I've come across such objects.
Here we go.
Quite literally.
Absolutely. I was going to let that pass, but go on.
Okay.
No, I'll say no more.
But the two things are completely unrelated, are they?
Absolutely. Yeah. The beautiful 21-year-old Thai student.
Does she have a name?
No, for the sake of discretion, no, she doesn't.
Right.
Obviously, she does, Nathaniel.
Yes.
That was a stupid question. But I can't reveal it.
Okay.
Is that you understand?
Begrudgingly, yes.
Begrudgingly, okay. Right. Moving on.
Yeah.
What did you think, Nathaniel, about Jeremy Clarkson's comments? I know we'd normally talk about this elsewhere, but it had such an impact. I thought I needed to talk to you about it.
Right. Okay. Fair comment. About the protesters.
Well, he said that the people that were on strike should be shot in front of their families.
Right.
What do we think of that?
On what level are you asking me the question, Richard?
I just want your opinion on it. On his statement, on the veracity of his statement, on whether he should have been forced to apologise.
Right, okay. Well, let me make it absolutely clear that I do think Jeremy Clarkson is a fat cockend.
Right.
For the most part, I don't enjoy his broadcasts. Whenever I see him on the television, I find him odious and opinionated and obnoxious, much like yourself.
Thank you.
He said.
You're saying you don't V plus Top Gear?
I certainly do not. No,
right.
I waste my time with such drivel.
Mm-hmm.
After having said that, we have to look at things from a distance to get a healthy viewpoint, and he's allowed to say what he wants to say. And he shouldn't be censored for having feelings, having opinions, as much as we disagree with them.
Right. Well, that seems very sensible.
Well, I suppose it is, yes. Have you got a different take on it?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh.
I wanted your opinion.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you mine.
What about if I ask you?
Go ahead.
What are your opinions on Jeremy Clarkson's recent comments, Richard?
I'm not going to tell you.
That's left me feeling a bit empty and hollow in some way.
Well, I don't mean that. But frankly, Nathaniel, it's not your bloody business.
Okay.
Listen, onto something else.
Yes.
Excuse me, something's tickled my throat there.
Sorry.
I'm trying to get in touch with my spiritual side.
Trying? I thought you'd already achieved that.
Well, I mean, obviously I have great faith in the Lord.
Of course.
But what I'm talking about is kind of spiritual satisfaction on a personal level.
Right.
And to that end, what I've done, Nathaniel, I bought a lava lamp.
Right.
It's pretty great.
They're very pretty objects, aren't they?
It's bloody great.
And it's taking you to a deeper, more profound understanding of yourself or something?
Well, what I find, you know, when I'm writing my column, sometimes, you know, you get distracted or you get a bit of writer's block. I've got it set up right next to my computer, and I find just turning my head and gazing at that waxy solution bubbling around, drifting upwards lazily and then drifting back down, I find it very soothing. And then would you believe it, away I go, I can continue with my column. It's marvellous.
Well, that's very interesting. That's an interesting development.
I've never really...
You what, sorry?
I thought you'd be pleased.
I am pleased. I'm pleased that you're getting some inspiration for your creativity. If it works, great. I find it unusual.
Mm.
But, you know, there's nothing wrong with being unusual.
As you know, I've been using my treadmill.
Yes.
Because initially, you know, remember at one point I was thinking about sending the bloody thing back.
Right.
I'm glad that I didn't.
Yeah.
Now that I'm a bit more perky.
Yeah.
Now, I made the mistake of reading the instruction manual of the treadmill. And I found that the readings are actually in kilometres an hour, not in miles an hour as I thought.
Right.
So, you know, my average speed, Nathaniel, of 5 kilometres an hour.
Which was 4 last week, yes.
Well, of course, but I've increased it to 5.
Right.
I'm getting better.
Okay.
Don't be so bloody disparaging.
I thought you were just plain lying, sorry.
I mean, that 5 kilometres, that's roughly the speed of an elderly woman, isn't it, on her way to the post.
I don't know, is she?
I think so. I think it's like an average.
I'm not really measured her.
So I'm not doing as well as I thought, that's what I'm saying to you.
Right.
So I'm a bit disappointed. But I have packed away my suit, you'll be pleased to know, hopefully. I had that beautiful suit tailored.
Yes.
Remember?
I mean, mentioned it last week, yes.
Plans for my funeral, Nathaniel, they're on hold indefinitely, so bad luck.
You don't need to tell me bad luck, Richard. You know, as much as I despise some of your viewpoints, I don't want you to die.
I don't know what to say to that. What do you say to somebody who tells you that they don't want you to die?
It's just the truth. It's just the truth. Richard. I genuinely don't want you to die.
Okay. This week, Nathaniel, I'm sorry, I haven't managed to read your piece in The Guardian.
You haven't?
No, I haven't. So, could you tell me in detail, please, what was it about and what were your conclusions?
Our piece on The Guardian?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not about to talk it on this podcast, Richard.
No?
No, it's not suitable material.
Huh.
You know, we talk about certain matters and some matters we don't, and I have the column in The Guardian for a particular reason. That's how I can channel those energies that way. It's not for broadcast here.
It's for money, Nathaniel, not for certain reasons. It's for bloody money.
Well, of course it's for money. You want to get paid for what you do, don't you? Sorry to burst your balloon.
Anything else you want to talk about? Because you're boring me shitless so far.
No, I don't. I don't have anything else to talk about, Richard, no. I'm sorry that I've disappointed you.
Should we get on with the rest of the show?
I think that's probably a good idea.
It can only get better.
I'm sure it can, yes. Okay, folks, time for some Hollywood developments and current movie news for you. And the world may be about to end, as a hypernova has been discovered that may blast a deadly gamma ray burst in the direction of our fragile planet. Being some 8,000 light years away, the hypernova may already have exploded, with a deadly stream of energy already en route, and we wouldn't know it until the moment it hit. On a totally unrelated issue, Twilight 4A has just passed the 500 million profit mark. Rabble-rousing Dogme 95 signatory Lars von Trier, who has been infamously banned from the Cannes Film Festival following his comments about Hitler, has recently been awarded the gong for Best Picture at the European Film Awards. They were held in Berlin, by the way. Coincidence?
As if the box office flop, Cowboys and Aliens, hadn't had enough of a kicking in the media, now an author is suing the film studio responsible, namely DreamWorks, claiming they stole the idea from a story of his published some 17 years ago. Well, you know what they say, if you're going to steal an idea, make sure it's a good one. Apparently, crazed Scientologist Tom Cruise has plans for a new Top Gun movie sequestered somewhere up his pipes. A quarter of a century after the movie that kick-started his career, Cruise sees it as a way to get that magnetic pulling power that seems to have faded since his bounce on Oprah's sofa. We'll watch it, but only because it's our job. Okay, folks, this is the part of the show where we talk about a movie on current release. And this week, we're going to talk about Dream House. Here's the plot. A family move into a new home, and all seems well. The kids don't like it too much, but, you know, they're just kids, so fuck them, right? Soon, as predictable as you like, weird things start to happen. A sinister figure watching them through the window. Footprints left in the snowfall. Strange interest from local goth types. When the man of the house, Willa Tenton, hears rumour of a grisly murder in the home, he tries to keep it to himself, but inevitably, the lady wife finds out. Will decides he's got to do something about this. He heads to the mental institute that now apparently houses the man responsible for the murders. Will doesn't know what he will find when he gets there, and nor can he predict the terrible consequences of his discovery. Nathaniel, what did you think?
Well, I haven't seen it, Richard. I'm sad to report that, but from your description, it sounds like quite a good watch.
And what's your reason this time?
Well, it's more justifiable than it has been in previous weeks, Richard, I hope.
I'll be the judge of that, Nathaniel.
Will you now? I've just been incredibly busy on the evenings, Richard. And unfortunately, the choice of film for this week has only been shown on the evenings, so I physically haven't had time to go and watch it.
What were you doing on the evening?
None of your bloody business.
Was it work?
It was work of some description, yes, but I'm not to go back into detail.
You don't need to. Were you getting paid for what you were doing?
Oh, what? Say that again.
Were you getting paid for the stuff you were doing on the evenings?
I was gathering a little money, yes.
You were getting paid?
Yes, I feel like I'm in court at the moment, Richard.
Let me just clarify, Mr. Barrettmore.
Yes.
You were being paid?
I was being paid, yes.
Okay. I don't approve that you haven't seen it, but if you're getting paid, fair enough.
Right, okay.
So now what? What the bloody hell do we do now?
Well, you can tell us what you think, and you can inform the valued listeners of the merits of the film, or not, as the case may be.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start with Daniel Craig, because Nathaniel, I don't care what you say about this man. He looks like someone's taken a cheese grater to his face.
Well, if that's the case, Richard, then a lot more people should do exactly what you suggest.
Yeah, I remember you espousing some genuine man love when we did the review for Cowboys and Aliens for Daniel Craig. Even though you hated the film,
yes,
you loved him.
I did indeed, absolutely, and a lot of people would agree with me on that score.
He looks like a piece of beef but it's been laid on a counter and battered with a meat mallet.
Well, as ever, Richard, you're on your own with your opinions, aren't you? You must play a lonely furrow. Daniel Craig is an incredibly sexy, enigmatic man, and the fact that you can't see it is irrelevant.
How dare you?
I don't care what you think.
How dare you, Nathaniel? Don't take it out on me because of the bloody listeners.
I'm not taking it out on you at all.
He is a genuinely ugly man. He's horrible. Horrible to look at.
You're a fucking idiot, Chipper Bob. You don't know. You can't even recognise beauty when you see it. Anyway, that's Craig, the film.
Well, Rachel Weisz.
Was she beautiful?
No.
No?
No, she wasn't. She looks like someone he's constantly squirting lemon juice into her eyes.
Right, was she, did she squint a lot?
Pinched, tense, she must have had some work, she's had some work done, Nathaniel. She's had skin removed and stretched.
Right.
Because she, her face isn't right.
You're not painting a pretty picture of her, right?
I mean, you know, imagine, you take a swig out of a bottle of Sarsen's vinegar.
Oh, lovely.
That you know, imagine the expression on someone's face when they've done that. That's what she looks like when she's talking.
Well, she must have some talent, the last.
She can't bloody act.
She can't act either, oh my word.
Nor can Daniel Craig, for that matter.
Well, I don't know, he does what he does,
doesn't he? They're bloody useless. They're hideous, and they can't bloody act.
Right. So, are you setting us up for a fall with the rituals in this one?
There's two little girls in this film, little, like 8 and 6 or something. And I think they're meant to be cute.
Maybe I'd like to have sex with them.
Nathaniel, I don't like this new development.
No?
Where you just say shocking things for the sake of it.
Okay.
Because you wouldn't really like to have sex with them, would you?
I might.
You would not.
Wouldn't I?
No,
wouldn't
it? Yeah, the choice between Babushka and these two little girls.
Anushka
and these two little girls.
Yeah,
you're going to choose Anushka, aren't you?
I am, Yeshua.
I think they were meant to be cute. They made me bloody furious.
Well, kids do that, don't they? Why? Why did they make you furious?
Oh, they were squawking, smiling, laughing, holding hands, skipping about.
I like doing things that kids do.
Oh, but you know, those perfect American kids.
Yes. Obnoxious.
Like you get in cereal adverts.
Sickly.
They don't really exist.
Not even real.
They're not real, are they?
No.
More about the film. I'm kind of reluctant to reveal this, but I'm going to. There is a twist. In the movie, and the reason I will reveal that is because it's not too far into the story.
Right.
So it's not like an M. Night Shyamalan movie where the twist, you know, makes the film.
It's not a spoiler.
No, I don't think so.
Right.
I hate stories that rely on a twist, Nathaniel, for their effectiveness.
Do you?
I hate them. The kind of people that come up with those kind of stories. Desperately sad individuals.
I think it shows an element of creativity and imagination, Richard.
Do you?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Because personally, I enjoy that type of thing when it happens.
The problem with it is...
You just like everything linear and logical, don't you? You just want everything to be correct and proper.
I want everything to be like it was in 1978.
Yes.
That's what I want, Nathaniel.
Right,
yes. The problem with it is, if the twist doesn't work, neither does the story.
No, that's absolutely true. You can't just tag something on the end, you know, and hope that quirkiness will see it through. I buy that, yes.
It's a gamble, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
It's a, you know, it's a punt, and if the punt fails, well, guess what? Go home.
Yeah.
This is a haunted house story, and, you know, come on, how many of these have we seen?
There's a few about, I gather. Nothing original.
Well, it's difficult to be original, isn't it?
It is.
With that genre.
Very, very
really
difficult.
Tough.
You're right.
Rachel Weisz, we've mentioned the fact she can't act. She was in The Mummy, for Christ's sake.
Right.
That's the level we're talking about.
Yeah.
And it's surprising, because the director of this film directed My Left Foot.
Right.
Obviously highly regarded. So you think, you know, you think he's got a bit about him. My Left Foot, I can't remember, I'll be honest, that might have won the Oscar.
I know it's a film of high repute, but obviously my movie knowledge is lacking at the best of times, and it's no more apparent than now.
It was certainly nominated, I don't know if it won, for Best International Movie.
Right.
But this movie made me think about my numb arse under my left foot, in all honesty. And that, Nathaniel, in spite of the fact that it was pretty short.
How long was it?
90 minutes, dead on.
Oh, right, okay.
90 minutes, and let me tell you something, that's to be commended.
It is, you're right.
Too many films these days veer perilously close to the 2 hour mark.
Yes.
With no justification. I mean, some of them, Transformers 3.
Yes.
Which could be the worst film ever made.
Yes.
The only reason it could be is because it's got pretty stiff competition from Transformers and Transformers 2.
Right.
That was over 2.5 hours long.
That's bizarre, isn't it? Because obviously kids' attention spans are not as high as adults at the best of times. So why on earth make a movie of that duration?
I can only imagine it's the cinematic equivalent of Ritalin. Where, you know, they're kind of numb. Their normal hyperactiveness is battered out of them by the volume and the vacuousness of what's going on the screen.
Nice.
So I do approve of the brevity of this one.
Yeah.
Because frankly, if you can't tell your story in 90 minutes, don't bother telling it. There are exceptions, you know. The Godfather wouldn't have benefited from having an hour trimmed out of it.
Yeah.
So there are exceptions to prove every rule, but by and large, 100 minutes tops, hour and 40 minutes, whoa, you know.
I find myself agreeing with you, Richard, yes.
Thank you.
I mean, it does call into question, you know, the whole attention span argument, you know, are we kind of going to keep, you know, is your argument saying that we should reduce the length of movies because people's attention spans are so poor that they can't manage any longer than 90 or 100 minutes.
Yes.
I suppose that's a valid argument, but, you know, you're a logical chap, and what you say rings true.
Well, I'm one of those people, Nathaniel, and I don't think there's too much wrong with my attention span.
Yeah.
But, you know, most movies that head towards 2 hours are stretched, at the very least. Now, questions for you.
Oh, no.
Shutter Island, Shock Corridor, and the Star Trek Next Generation episode, Frame of Mind. Have you seen those?
No, I haven't.
My advice to you, Nathaniel, watch those instead of this film. Because they're very similar, and they're all a lot better.
Ah, right, good advice.
Okay.
So you weren't just being advisory then, were you actually being constructive for once?
I think we've already established your movie knowledge is pathetic.
That's firmly understood.
In the same way that I don't go up to a Down syndrome kid and take their lollipop off them.
Yes.
I'm past mocking you for your imbecilic nature.
That's a comparison that boosts my self-esteem no end.
So, watch those things, Nathaniel.
Yes.
Remember what they were?
Shutter Island.
Nathaniel, stop! Stop being the shock jock.
Stop the film, not the lollipop.
Back it in.
Shutter Island. Now I've forgotten the second one, and some other Star Trek shit.
Shock Corridor. Frame of Mind.
Duly noted.
You got it?
Yeah.
What's your rating for this film?
6 out of 10.
6 out of 10? I'm giving it 3 out of 10.
Okay, folks, time to delve into the archives once again, and we're going to get stuck into a film called Let the Right One In as part of our classic movie discussions this week. The plot. A 12-year-old boy befriends a mysterious young girl whose appearance in town suspiciously coincides with a horrifying series of murders. In director Thomas Alfredson's adaptation of the book by author John Lindquist, who also wrote the screenplay. Oscar is a young boy who can't seem to shake off the local bullies. But all of that begins to change when a new neighbour moves in next door. After striking up an innocent friendship with his eccentric next-door neighbour, Oscar realises that she is a vampire responsible for the recent rash of deaths around town. Despite the danger, however, Oscar's friendship with the girl ultimately takes precedence over his fear of her. Have you seen this, Richard?
I have seen it, yes.
What do you think?
Well, on IMDb, the director is wearing a beret.
Okay, and the relevance is?
What a prick!
Because he's wearing a beret?
He's wearing a beret at a jaunty angle.
Right.
What a prick.
Well, thanks for the, you know, your opinions on that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you got anything to say about the film?
It's packed full of Swedish people.
Yes, it would be.
I couldn't understand a bloody word they were saying.
But you can read the subtitles now?
I did read the subtitles, yes.
Well, that's a good job.
Is this meant to be scary, Nathaniel?
I don't think so. I don't think scary was on the agenda of the director when he made this movie.
No?
No. It's more thought-provoking than scary, which is, I thought was an interesting take on it, but I'll let you have your say first.
It's certainly under the banner of horror.
Yes, it would be, of course.
You know, the key word, the genre on IMDb, horror. You go onto Amazon, horror. I don't think... Now, here's something, Nathaniel. I don't think we should say why it's horror. Because that's kind of a bit of a spoiler. What do you reckon?
The thing, we've already alluded to the fact that it's not scary. So we've already given a bit away. But I'll leave you to be the judge of that. If you think we should omit that from the podcast, then let's do that.
No. What I'm saying is the actual reason that it's horror. You know, the thing about the girl.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right. Okay.
We shouldn't specifically name it. What do you think?
Well, I think I've already given that away in the description.
Oh, bloody hell. Okay, no problem.
Okay.
But don't worry, we won't worry about it.
Right.
And listeners, if you're out there, please forgive him. He didn't mean to do it.
Yeah. I don't mean to give much away, but you can still watch this film. I mean, you still won't know what's going on. I haven't given so much away that I've ruined it for you.
I don't think you did.
No.
I'd seen the film, and your introduction meant bloody nothing to me.
Right.
What was the last frightening film that you saw, Nathaniel? Just out of interest.
It's a relative question, isn't it? The genuinely frightening film, my word. Generally speaking, Richard, I don't get frightened by films. I have moments where they make me jump. They're the most frightening ones for me, the shock factor ones.
Uh-huh.
Such as Paranormal Activity 3, the film of this year.
So The Jolt.
The Jolt, yeah. As for actual slow burners and concepts being frightening and gore and, you know, horrifying acts being frightening, it doesn't have that effect on me, no.
Are you trying to be a hard-ass?
I'm not trying to be a hard-ass at all, no, I'm just telling it like it is.
That's the way it seems.
No, I'm not trying to be a hard-ass, no, that's just your what's the word? Something that you're just going on
my
in
my opinion?
Yeah, so you obviously think I've been a hard-ass.
My bias?
Your bias, yeah.
My thought process is?
Your thought process is indeed, yeah.
My general outlook on life.
I hope I've answered your question, Richard.
For me, since you didn't ask, I'm going to tell you.
Right.
Insidious, this year.
Insidious?
Yeah, the first half of that was ball-achingly frightening.
Right.
It let it down, the second act kind of ruined it a little bit. It took you out of the scare. But, no, the first half was proper scary.
What made it proper scary?
Creepy atmosphere.
Right.
Playing with primal fears, basically. There's a fabulous, fabulous shot where you've got a child in a cot next to a window. And there's a flash of lightning outside, and there's a figure staring at the child. And that, maybe it doesn't sound like much, but...
No, it does, it sounds pretty brooding, to be honest with you.
That was really, really frightening.
Right. But even that sounds like a snapshot, it's not like, the slow burn, it's not like brooding atmosphere, that was just like a...
Oh, you're right, no, you're absolutely right, it was a moment.
Yeah.
But there were several of them.
Right.
and it ratcheted up the fear factor.
Yeah.
Really effectively. But that's a different film anyway. We're meant to be talking about Let the Right One In.
You're right. Yes.
The director of this, Thomas Alfredson.
Yes.
He directed this year's excellent but deeply confounding Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Right.
So it's, obviously the success of Let the Right One In has led on to greater things, almost. I say great. I'm not saying it's a better film, but greater in terms of scale, scope, and budget.
Yeah.
So obviously,
very well received as well, wasn't it?
Very well received. Yeah, Tinker Tailor was a great movie. It's a shame you missed it.
Yeah.
But he's I think he's now considered as a safe pair of hands.
Right.
If you understand.
Yes.
What I mean by that.
Yes, of course.
What did you think of the kids that played the lead roles? I'm bound to butcher the pronunciations, but we've got Cara Hedebrandt as Oscar, the boy, and Lena Leanderson.
Yes.
Eli.
Yeah.
Or Ellie, sorry, the girl.
Ellie, that's right, yeah. Ellie, yeah. I thought they were very, very good, Richard, yeah, particularly Ellie.
Yeah.
I think the casting roles is one that's, it can be seen past too easily. I think it's a difficult process to try and get the right person for the role. I don't think it gets recognised enough, and I think this was a particularly good bit of casting because, I don't know, it's something that you can't even put your finger upon. It's just that some appearances, characterisations really, really work, and this one did. You know, she really fitted that part really well. It's hard to define why. As for the Oscar, I mean, that was a little bit more easy to cast because there wasn't really anything going on that a genuinely talented child actor couldn't have pulled off.
He looked like a bloody ghost.
He was an unusual looking soul, wasn't he? Yeah, I'll give
didn't
you that.
He? I mean, yeah. His pallor.
Yeah.
There was not a drop of colour in him.
I don't think he'd been eating many vegetables, I guess I have to say.
There's something... Seriously, Nathaniel, there's something wrong with him if he really looks like that. But of course it's hard to judge because we don't know how much his makeup.
Right. Do you think some of that was actually by design?
I think so, yes. I think it was to...
Interesting, because he was bullied, wasn't he? And maybe that kind of pallid complexion was there,
yeah,
to give him more vulnerable...
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I think that's precisely what it was. The paleness of his skin, the pale shade of blonde of his hair.
Yeah.
And the milky blue eyes, all almost feminized him.
Right.
So when the boys were bullying him, you know, it's like the boys were bullying a little girl.
Yeah, it became an easier target. Yeah. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, good point, yeah.
I thought he was good, but I did worry for him. I'm still worried about him now.
Besides his health?
For his health, yes. as for the girl that played Ellie...
Yeah.
I've got to disagree with you. She couldn't bloody act.
Oh, really, Richard?
Oh, she was awful.
Awful?
Awful.
Are you sure you're not just being confrontational just for the sake of interest here?
I'm not.
No?
No. She was bloody awful.
Right. Why did you think that?
She seemed to react too slowly to things.
React too slowly?
Yes.
What?
So Oscar would say something.
Yeah.
And the natural point where she should speak, where a good actress would have spoken, she delayed slightly because she's a bad actress, and said it slightly too late.
Well, I think that could be something to, you know, that's not the fault of any actors. That's the fault of the director if you're going to start criticising that aspect of the movie. If you're criticising timing and scripting.
But you don't know, do you? That might be the best they could get out of her.
Or that could be within the design of the movie, again, without not giving too much away. Perhaps she was reacting slowly for a particular reason.
I didn't like the way she kept blinking. She blinked too much.
Yeah, it's enough. Yeah, I often find that disconcerting. There's nothing worse than an avid blinker.
I get the feeling, Nathaniel, that you're mocking me there.
No, not at all. No, I sympathise. You know, there's nothing worse. You try and have a conversation. You know, you might be interesting subject matter. You're really having a good debate, and all the bloody old opposite person can do is just keep blinking.
What's worse, Nathaniel? Somebody who blinks too much, or somebody who never blinks at all?
Definitely somebody who doesn't blink at all.
He's just talking to them, and you notice that they haven't blinked. How long would it be until you felt uncomfortable?
Actually, I think you've hit upon like a fantastic idea for a horror story there. You asked me what the most scary film I've seen is. I mean, if put them in there.
Mm.
Someone who doesn't blink.
Yeah, the unblinking eye.
Yeah, there you go.
Question.
Yes.
And this might tie in with your new shocking persona.
Oh no.
Did we really have to see the young girl's vagina? It put me off my dinner.
Did it?
Yeah. What was that there for? Why did we see that? Why did we get a snatch, as it were?
Well, I think it was just there just to titillate the young boys in the audience.
Is that what you think?
That's exactly what I think. I think it was a low budget movie. It was a cult movie, and to get it higher repute, they wanted to appeal to a wider audience.
Mm.
Teenage boys.
I didn't approve.
You didn't?
I did not approve of that.
Of course, I mean, I'm sure what the director was trying to say, or what he'll tell, you know, he'll tell the audience, is that he wanted to put Oscar's feelings for all to see. You know, he wanted to show how titillated he was about seeing this girl's vagina as a young boy of that age would, and it was to develop his character a little more. That's what he tell us.
At what age, Nathaniel, did you see your first vagina?
I don't like the way you do this, Richard. I don't like the way we're talking about a movie, we're getting into it. You know, it's an interesting subject matter, and all of a sudden you're asking me obtuse questions like this. Are you absolutely insistent that I answer?
I can't force you, can I?
You can't, you're absolutely right. No,
it's up to you if you answer or not.
When did I see it the first? I believe I was, maybe 10, 11 years old?
Mm. Yeah.
Does that satisfy you?
It's about what I figured. Yeah.
Okay. And yourself?
I'm not going to tell you.
Okay.
This is a love story at heart, Nathaniel.
Yes.
And that can never be approved of, surely.
A love story?
Yeah. Have you ever seen a movie where love is the central message that you've really enjoyed?
Yes.
Go on then.
I'll change my answer. No, because there's always it has to be love plus something to make it actually genuinely interesting. I'm not going to be talking in positive frames around about rom coms and things like that. But you know,
we don't like those, do we?
Not particularly.
What would we have in common, that is?
I think we can agree on those. Yeah.
Yeah.
Generally not, don't go down too well at PFR HQ.
Oh, you know, I love sci-fi and horror. You like your heart-hitting dramas.
Yes.
But where we do meet minds is with the rom-com.
Absolutely, yeah.
We bloody hate them.
Yeah. It's kind of nice when the kind of, again, Three Dynasties for example, because I'm such a dullard with movies, but it's nice when the love goes wrong.
Yes.
Where there's some bitterness and there's some something to give it an edge, you know.
A twist.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Something to play off, play the drama off against.
Absolutely, so it's not always just sickly. Obviously you can have like a happily, to do the happy couple love thing for a bit, and then it all goes pear-shaped, you know. Just gives it an extra twist, extra edge.
Frantic, that's a good one.
Frantic, oh, I haven't seen
it. Seen that one, Harrison Ford. I can't remember who plays the lead lady, but they're blissfully in love in a hotel in Paris, I think it is.
Right.
And then she vanishes, and it's all to do with his search for her.
Right.
Not quite the same as you were talking about, but still, but it started with that kind of perfect relationship thing.
Yeah.
And that was totally necessary in order for the drama to have impact later.
Right.
So I'm not against loving a story per se.
Yeah.
Because it can work. But if that's the meat of the story, I'm sorry, you lose my attention very quickly.
Yeah, I empathise with that, yeah.
And to me, that was a problem with this movie.
It didn't offend me in that way. I think because it was such that there were such young people, seeing the innocence of that is, in a way, it's far more appealing. It's far more pure. It's far more natural. It's just far sweeter, really. It's not a sickly kind of obsessive thing that happy couples do, where they can't be away from each other for a single second.
It's nauseating.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's cloying.
Very innocent, and it was a nice thing to behold.
Are we ready to give our verdict?
I think so.
This is the first Swedish film I've ever seen,
right,
to the best of my knowledge.
Yes.
And it's certain to be my last.
Right.
It's 3 out of 10.
Likewise on the Swedish thing, the first one I've ever seen. I don't enjoy this type of movie normally, so this was a refreshing outcome. 7 out of 10.
Okay, folks, this is the part of the show that has come to be known as Any Other Business. And this week, we're going to be talking about the unemployed. With tough financial times ahead, it seems prospects in the job market are unlikely to get better anytime soon. With a rising number of people on the dole claiming job seekers' allowance, is it time for the British public to wake up and stop being so damn snobby about what kind of work is acceptable and what isn't? What do you reckon, Nathaniel?
About the concept of unemployment?
Hmm.
I think it's a horrible thing, Richard. I think it's a horrible thing that too many people get used to. I think it's very easy to slip into Easy Street and find it incredibly cushy and stressless being unemployed. And
a lifestyle choice.
Indeed, absolutely.
That's what you're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, we're talking about, you know, your benefits people and all that business.
Mm.
Obviously, benefits need to be in place. We can't see people suffer unnecessarily. But at the same time, it should certainly be more done to encourage people to go to work. I think people should be made to do some sort of voluntary work, some quota a week, so at least they're actually not slipping out of the work ethic completely. Even if it's only 3 or 4 hours a week, it's something.
It's interesting use of the word obviously there, Nathaniel.
Why?
When you said obviously benefits need to be in place.
Yes.
Why?
Because sometimes people have hard times with you. Sometimes people, you know, they're sacked from their job, they're made redundant, through no fault of their own. If they're complete lazy arseholes and they haven't worked for 10 years, then by all means to cut the benefits, yes. But when people hit upon hard times, and they need to be helped out.
I have never been unemployed.
Right. I'm not sure if that's to your credit or not, but okay.
Even when I didn't have a job, I still went to work.
Why? What did you do?
I went to the office.
You went, right. Suited and booted?
Suited, of course, suited and booted. I'm not going to turn up at the office in jeans, am I?
Well, probably not. I mean, what do you mean? You turned up at the office, did they let you in? Would you allow...
No, I knew the person on the door, and they let me in, and I sat in the canteen. And did some typing.
Oh, you just took your laptop in and...
Yes.
...pounded away.
Yes.
So you didn't actually do any work?
I didn't have a job.
Yes.
But I still went to work.
Oh, you went to work, but you didn't do any work?
I found it difficult to fill the time. Just typing. Because eventually, I was just typing whatever thoughts came into my head. Literally sitting in the, you know, just typing. Oh, I've been sitting here for 4 hours, I'm typing. There's a poster on the wall, the background colour's green. I've been here for 5 hours now, I'm still typing, there's no bloody reason for it. So, you know, it became quite a trial, but I stuck to it.
Well, that doesn't constitute work, Richard. You're not doing actually any work.
But I went to work!
That's not the point at all.
Don't you? I went to the place of work.
For once, Richard, bellowing is not going to justify your opinion. You're turning up in a cafe, you're typing until you get bored, that's performing no kind of service, you're deluding yourself.
What would you... I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not deluding myself. I'm not doing it now.
No, but yeah, I'm talking about in the past. You were
deluding. Would you rather I did?
Well, I've just said, hard voluntary work. Go and do your next door neighbour's garden or something like that.
I can't bloody stand him.
Well, do the one next to him.
He's okay.
You take the point. You take the point.
No, he's okay.
Is he? There's always something to do. There's always someone you can help, Richard.
Remove all benefits at once.
This is just absolutely typical of you, isn't it? I can, yeah, for once, I'm glad I'm going to feel, I can feel my boil rising.
You spit it out, Nathaniel, come on. It's about time, come you really little on. Prick.
Feed me, go on.
Come on.
No,
you spit out the hatred. I know you hate me. You spit it out. Come on, we'll bond, we'll be closer.
That was like an election coming. I've gone flaccid again this year.
Oh.
I've gone flaccid.
I enjoyed that moment. Well, I thought for a brief moment there, Nathaniel, I thought you were going to act like a man.
Go on, carry on finishing your point. All benefits should be cut.
All benefits should be cut. I agree with, we'll go back to him, Jeremy Clarkson in many ways. Line them up, shoot them.
If they do what?
If they attempt to claim benefits.
Right.
Shoot them.
Anyone attempting to claim benefits should be shot.
You trick them. You say, come on in. Hello. Hello, Mr. Smith. Good morning. Come on in. Oh, you've lost your job, have you? You want to sign on? Bang!
Right.
Shoot them.
It's certainly a radical way of dealing with matters, isn't it?
Do it like the Germans did during World War II. Those unfit for work were summarily executed.
Right.
What's wrong with that?
Well, there's an awful lot wrong with that, Richard. It's completely inhumane to start. You just spout these things, and they're so flawed. I don't even know where to begin. You're just horrible, Richard, aren't you? You're just plain fucking horrible. I can't say any more than that. You dumbfound me with the absolute fucking evil ways that you
come on, get it out. Thatcher had the right idea, Nathaniel.
Who did?
Thatcher,
did she?
Get rid of all the working class jobs.
Yes.
Sort the wheat from the chaff.
Yes.
Sterilise them if they won't work.
I don't think Thatcher approved of that, did she?
She didn't say that, but she'd have liked it.
Would she?
I'm pretty sure.
That's what she secretly wished for.
She only slept 4 hours a night.
I do, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she was fucking furious, wasn't she, all the time?
She must have been, yes.
She'd have chopped the knackers off!
She was constantly berating herself for not getting the sterilisation papers through.
Name and shame them. Surely you're going to go with this one. Name and shame them. Signing on should be broadcast to the nation. So if you choose, you could log on to it, or go to a website of your local job centre, and you can watch the people, the detritus, wandering in like slugs in bloody trainers and shell suits. And just watch.
Oh, that'd be really beneficial, wouldn't it? Really positive, yeah. I mean, that wouldn't encourage people to actually go on benefits at all, would it? Oh, let's go down the job centre, we could be on the teller.
Name and shame them. Make them wear bells around their necks.
Like lepers.
So everyone knows that they're a bludger.
Right. I mean, would it be like some kind of tag?
Exactly, you couldn't take it off. It's not voluntary.
Yeah.
It's fitted by some kind of expert. Can't be removed, and if you attempt to tamper with it, you're put in prison.
And you'd employ this rule, Richard, for like 50-year-old Jimmy Smith.
Uh-huh.
he's worked as a postman for the past 30 years, and he's been made redundant, and you'd have him tagged and shamed, would you?
Just treat everybody the same. You can't favour some and be harsh to others. We have to have the same rules for everybody.
Well, I understand that kind of treating everybody equally, Richard, but surely by virtue of the portrayal that I've just made, you can see the flaw in your own argument.
There is no flaw in ensuring that people that can work do work.
But as I said, people hit on hard times, Richard, and sometimes they need helping out in the interim periods. Does that level of humanity doesn't cross your mind at all?
Well, I've never been unemployed, Nathaniel.
Well, some people are.
Why?
Well, because how many more times do I have to keep repeating them? I'm fucking out. People lose their jobs, they're sacked unjustly, they become ill, they have a change of career and they need to train. There are innumerable reasons why people don't work. You can't fire them all with the same brush.
Illness can't be an excuse, Nathaniel. That's
no?
weak.
Is it?
That's weak.
Well, in what way is that weak?
People can claim to be ill without actually having any kind of illness at all.
Tests are pretty elaborate now, Richard. I mean, yes, people always try and pull the wool over your eyes. But, you know, medicinal tests and things are a lot more elaborate these days. It's not so difficult to get these things confirmed.
I could go to the doctor tomorrow and, you know, once I've got past the burning shame of her knowing that I've got an incredibly small penis.
Yes.
I could tell her that I've got a bad back. I could look online to see where the pain should be.
Yes.
And when she touches me there, I'll say, yes, it hurts. And I could get signed off.
Yes, that scenario does exist. Of course it does.
So, illness is not a reason not to go to work. That's a weak excuse.
What about collapsed lung?
Collapsed lung, frankly, the doctor should just put you out of your misery.
Right.
But if you can't go to work due to illness, sterilisation, or execution.
Well, as I say, Richard, that's a real radical point of view. I'm never ever going to agree with it. It just proves how vile you are for saying that kind of stuff. But it's something we've come to expect.
I've got nothing else to say on this matter.
Well, I'm quite glad about that.
I think, yet again, your lily-livered, liberal nonsense has been put on show for the world to see. It made you look quite foolish. But I would like you, if you would, to ponder my thoughts that I've been jotting down this week.
Do you mind?
Now, last week, you seemed quite happy with the work that I did.
Right.
But I kind of changed tack this time.
Go on.
And all I've done is I've written down the first word that occurred to me as I woke up.
That's more of a psychological test. That's more valid, yes.
Mate, do you prefer that?
I do prefer that.
Okay, so I think you're going to find them interesting.
I hope so.
Tuesday, sand.
No.
Wednesday, blood. Thursday, feathers. Friday, milk. Saturday, blood. Sunday, straw. Monday, blood. What do we think?
Interesting. Well, I suggest that the sand is, you think about a holiday. The
is,
blood...
it really that, is it that obvious?
Oh, completely, yes.
Is it?
Yes.
It's got a deep, profound meaning to it.
Well, that it's meant to be simple, Richard. It's not meant to be profound. It's meant to be very, very simple.
I thought it'd be something to do with the sands of time, kind of passing through my fingers.
Listen, are you asking me opinion, or are you just trying to tell me yours?
No. That's what I expected to hear from you.
Sand, holiday, you're thinking about going away, you're feeling somewhat disillusioned, you need a break.
Blood.
Wednesday, you wake up wanting to kill somebody.
Right. Feathers?
Feathers, you're perhaps feeling a little bit amorous, a bit experimental. Other than that, you may need some kind of comfort.
Something soft.
Something soft, yes, something to ease your pain.
Cozy and warm.
Indeed.
Milk?
Milk, perhaps you're thinking about...
Udders?
No, not about udders. You think about what it was like to be a child, about having no responsibility.
Mm.
And, you know, the carefree lifestyle that children live, no worries. Harking back to that.
Blood?
Wanted to kill somebody again.
Straw?
Straw, that's an interesting one. I mean, obviously there's different kinds of straw. The one that leaps to mind is the one that serves as a food. So again, you want to be in the outdoors, you want to be amongst nature, you want to be, you know, experiencing life other than in the office, doing the 9-to-5.
What kind of straw constitutes food, Nathaniel?
Straw.
I've never eaten straw.
No, that's not that you eat. Humans eat food. It's something that animals eat, isn't it?
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So, you know, there was like cows and donkeys and the like.
Yeah. And again, we have blood.
I've already told you what that...
You've told me that twice.
Which you have to admit, is something that is somewhat accurate. You often think about killing people, but you don't.
So 3 times this week I've woken up with a homicidal urge.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Is that what you're telling me?
Or some sort of destructive notion, whether that be towards other people or yourself.
I'm a little troubled by that.
Right.
Does
it ring true in any way?
Well, I don't like people very much.
Well, that's pretty clear.
That's certainly true. I like you.
Oh.
I've never thought about killing you.
Right, yes.
No, I never have, even though you make me angry sometimes.
Yes.
It's only the same way that a brother would you know, would make me angry.
Right.
And I'd never want to kill my brother. That would be wrong.
That'd be wrong, yeah.
So no, what would you like me to do? I'm really enjoying this session at the end.
Yes.
Of the podcast. It's kind of blossomed, hasn't it? It organically, this has become like a new little... It's like Richard's thoughts.
I think so. I enjoy the freedom aspect of it. I enjoy that we can just play jazz.
Yeah. We can what? Plagiarise?
We can what?
Plagiarise, did you just say?
No, I said we play jazz.
I play jazz, sorry. Yeah. I beg your pardon. So what would you like me to do for next week?
Richard's psychological insights. Well,
because I've done the temperature.
Yes. Quite the revealing.
I've done the first thought.
Well, if we can just... maybe
and now I've done the first word that occurred.
We'll stay with that format, because I think that's a really insightful, informative bit of work that we're doing there. So if we stay with that format, but instead of the first word, you condense it down, it has to be an object.
An object?
Yes.
So, for example, it would be Tuesday, Benoit Balls.
Yes, that'd be example. Fine, yes.
Yeah, okay. I mean, unless you've got anything further to add, Nathaniel, then I think we're about done.
I think we've reached our natural close.
Episode 15, I think it's been a good one.
I quite enjoyed it, Richard.
I've enjoyed it. I always enjoy it.
I enjoy spending time with you and doing a broadcast. It's just like one of the 18.
I know.
Get off their fat, lazy arses and ask to give us some feedback.
I know.
We're done.
I totally agree. You know, in many ways, I agree with what you're saying. I don't want this to end. I really don't. I'm scared that if it comes to an end, that I'll spiral back into a pit of despondency, and I'll get the suit back out of the cupboard.
I won't let you do that, Richard.
But whatever happens, we'll still work together, won't we?
We will indeed, of course.
On our next project.
It goes without saying.
I might learn an instrument.
That sounds like a good idea.
Maybe we could form a band.
Well, you certainly can't play anything at the moment, so.
I'm musically inept.
You're like a dullard.
I'm tone deaf.
You are.
Whereas you just pick up an instrument and you can play it, can't you?
That's absolutely
amazing.
Yeah.
Mate, you're so talented in that regard.
maybe I'll teach you to play the sitar.
Yeah. Can you play the sitar?
Oh, very well, yeah.
Really?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Can you talk, just you know, for the sake of the listeners, can you explain how you do it?
No, we've reached the podcast, Richard, and I won't be goaded by you.
Okay, all right. So that's it then. It's been lovely.
It has.
And I'll see you next time.
We will.
Thanks, listeners.
Yeah, thanks very much. And feedback if you possibly can.
Get in touch, folks.
Yes, otherwise we're done.
Mate, you know, please, Nathaniel.
Please, Nathaniel.
Please, Nathaniel. Please.
Bye. Bye.